So, this morning, let me start out by asking you this question. Have you ever played the what if game? Anybody ever played that? I know some of you are sitting there going, what's the what if game? Okay, well, you know what that game is, and I think probably most everybody in here has played it one time or another in their life. In other words, those are scenarios where you imagine what would have otherwise happened if I'd have only done this, or what if this would happen? What if, and so forth. Yeah, y'all, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, more of you have played that than you realize, right? So in other words, what would have happened if I did this instead of that? Usually we play this game when something goes bad, don't we? You say, when something doesn't work out the way, it says, oh man, what if I'd have done this, all right? What if this were to happen? What if it doesn't work? Then what? You ever ask that one? Okay. Or how about, what if they don't show up? Or how about this one? What if he doesn't keep his promise? You see, we play that game a lot, don't you? Becoming more familiar to you? Yeah, what if? What if this happens? Or what if this doesn't happen? Or what if, and so forth. Another part of this is that what we do after the fact, in other words, after something happens, we tend to second-guess ourselves. We play what is referred to as Monday morning quarterback. Any of you ever played that game? You know, we go back, and after the game's over with, then we know what we should have done, right? Okay, and so we'll say things like, if I would have just done this, then I wouldn't have this mess, right? Or if only they would have. You say, what if? If only. Well, sometimes we might find ourselves doing this. If I had it to do over again, okay? So what if? What if we can spend all kinds of time playing the what if game? Here's one for you. What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? Okay? What if? All right, I just want to make sure you were paying attention this morning, okay? All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're starting a new series of lessons, obviously, and on what if. But we're going to be playing what if, okay, the biblical version. The biblical version of the what if game, all right? So these are scenarios of biblical issues, okay, that we're going to be asking, what if? All right? Now, here's the reason we're going to do this. This is to challenge all of us to look at these issues or these things, these areas of our lives, and to second guess ourselves now. Okay? In other words, it's a chance for us to play Monday morning quarterback now, while we still can, so that when we face God in the judgment, we won't be finding ourselves saying, if only I had done this. If only I had not done this. You see? So this is a challenge for us to play the what if game concerning these different areas of our lives, so we're not faced with that in the judgment. What if? So we're going to start this series of lessons this morning with this particular topic. What if you started obeying God about, and you fill in the blank? Yeah, I just figured I'd just start right off the bat stepping on everybody's toes. Okay? So I don't know what the blank line might represent for you. In other words, is there an area of your life where you know what God wants you to do, you know how He wants you to respond, but you just don't want to do what He says to do in that area of your life? You see? And so this is what if, pertaining to that particular area or that issue in your life, what if you just started obeying God concerning that? What if? You go back to our scripture reading that we began with this morning. And here's the scenario. God had commanded Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, the first king of Israel. Here's what God instructed Saul to do. Go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Destroy everything. That was his instruction from God. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty plain. And, you know, I mean, is there any confusion in that? Totally destroy how much? All. Okay? So Samuel goes out and he attacks the Amalekites and he routs them. But here's what it says in verse 9. Saul and the army spared Agag, who was the king, okay, of the Amalekites, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. As a result of his disobedience, God called Samuel and he said he had repented that he had made Saul king. In other words, he changed his mind because of Saul's disobedience. And so Samuel went to confront Saul. And look at what he says. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" So you see, Saul's perspective is, I did what the Lord told me to do. But did he? No, everybody's head should be going like this, okay? No. He disobeyed God. He did not do what God told him to do what? Totally destroy all. But he kept back the king, okay? And the sheep and the cattle. The best of the things that he had. But notice that his perception, his perspective on this is that he did what God told him to do. As Samuel challenges him further, look at what he says. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Okay? Well, what's the problem here? First of all, who's king? Saul is king, right? But he's blaming the soldiers who are under his command. And you see, I don't know if you realize, but back in that day, you don't do anything without the king's approval. Okay, you don't even approach the king without his approval. So for Saul to blame the soldiers is basically saying he has no command whatsoever. Okay? Samuel then says to him, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed in the fat of rams." What God wants is obedience. You see, it's that idea of that, well, we don't have to obey God. Why? Because we're going to honor Him with this worship. Say, well, wait a minute. We don't sacrifice sheep and cattle anymore, right? Are there things that God's told you to do in His Word? You don't do them. You say, and yet you come and you worship God and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm doing what God's told me to do." What God wants is your obedience. Say, and obedience is better even than worship. Come in and worship. That's really what the message is. Okay. when we disobey, I wonder how often our perspective is just like Saul's. Okay? In other words, we do what we want to do instead of what God tells us to do. Or perhaps we insist that we have done what God says, even though we know we're not doing what God says. Or maybe we blame others for our disobedience. Well, if they would just, then I would. You see that if? You see? Or we make up excuses trying to make it seem okay. Well, you know, we're going to sacrifice to God. So our disobedience is okay, isn't it? Because we're going to sacrifice to God. And the answer to that is, no, it is not okay. Why? Because God desires obedience more than sacrifice. So in other words, it is not acceptable to God for us to come to church to worship Him and then leave and go out and live how we want to live. That's not acceptable. And if that's what we're going to do, may as well not even come. Because God would respond to us the same way that He was responding to Saul. Okay? Now, don't anybody misunderstand me and say, oh, Russ said I don't have to go to church as long as I'm obeying God. No, that's not what Russ is saying. Because if you're obeying God, where are you going to be on Sunday morning, first day of the week? You're going to be here to worship Him as He has commanded you to do. Okay? So you don't get out of that. Right? God wants us to obey Him. Especially in those areas of our lives where maybe we don't understand why. See? And we come up with all kinds of reasons why this is better than that and so forth. But maybe we're not as wise as we think we are. We just simply need to obey Him. To obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus says in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Let's talk about unlocking doors. Okay? You ever had those unexpected guests just kind of show up at your house? You know, maybe you look out the window and go, "Oh my goodness, the preacher's here." Okay? And then panic sets in because, you know, you got a mess maybe somewhere all over and you got to try to get everything straightened out. Why? Because you don't want them to have a bad impression of you, right? And who knows what the preacher's going to put in the bulletin if he comes in the house and sees this mess, right? Okay? So apparently somebody way back when, you can kind of tell this is dated, somebody came up with a manual apparently on how to clean real quickly when those unexpected guests show up. All right? But again, why do we do that? Why do we get so concerned about that? Well, it's because we may have a room in our house that looks something like this. Anybody? No, you don't want to raise your hand, right? Okay? But we have a room that maybe looks like this, and the idea is that what we do is when they come, the first thing we do is close the door to that room, right? Because we do not want them going into that room and to see what a mess it really is. So the easiest thing is just close the door and keep them out. And maybe if it's the first time they've been there and you're giving them a tour, you would just kind of walk by that door and you'd go, well, we won't even talk about what's in here, and you keep on going, right? Yeah, you're laughing because you've been there, right? You know what I'm talking about. We just want to close off those rooms. Maybe okay, so you don't have a room, right? Maybe you got a drawer. Okay? Yeah, I'm touching a few more people. You've got a drawer. You just don't want anybody to open that drawer, right? Because that's the place where you just kind of throw everything. You don't know what to do with it, right? Just throw it in that drawer and I'll sort it out later. Right? But the idea is you want to keep it closed. You don't want people to see what is there. Well, let's talk about our spiritual house. And we've talked about this idea a little bit in the past here. The idea that, you know, the different rooms of our spiritual house represent different aspects of our life. And you know, Jesus is going to show up at your house unexpectedly. Okay, and what is he going to find? And the reality is that probably in most areas of your life and my life, we would say, yeah, Jesus, come right on in. Let me show you what's in this room. Let me show you what's in that room. But then, is there a room or two where you have a sign on the door like this? This door has got to remain closed at all times because I don't want Jesus looking in there. Okay? You know, he can go in all these other areas of my life, but this area of my life is closed. I don't want him knowing what's in there. There's a secret for you, okay? He already knows. All right? He already knows what's in there. But you see, our idea is that we just, as long as we can keep that door closed to that part of our life, then everything else is okay, right? It's like that house where all the other rooms are looking good, and you don't mind somebody coming in and looking and spending some time there, just don't go in that room. And in our spiritual house, we have some rooms like that perhaps. Where Jesus is welcome through all aspects of our life, but this one area that represents areas that I am just not willing to obey him on. I don't want him in there. And so I just want to keep the door closed to that part of my life. Because I don't really want Jesus to see the reality of the mess that's in that part of my life. So the easy thing that we try to do is just stay away from that part. Well, as we said a moment ago, he already knows what's in that room. He knows what it looks like. You're not going to hide anything from him. Which brings us back to the whole question, what if in that area of your life you just started obeying him? Instead of closing the door, trying to keep him out, what if you just started focusing on obeying him? See? But that brings us to another issue. You see, it's easy to talk about obey, but you can't separate obey from trust. So we need to talk about trust and obey. We have a song about that that we sing, don't we? Right? Okay? You see, I think that trust is this oftentimes overlooked aspect or ingredient of obedience. The two go hand in hand. You cannot separate trust from obedience. Okay? Trust and obey. For what? There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I think sometimes we don't trust that things are going to work out very well for us in this area. I think that sometimes the reality of that is more along this way. That really what we fear is that things won't work out the way we want them to if we did what God said to do. Okay? So, for instance, when God tells you to forgive someone and you just don't want him in there, in that room, because what they've done is to hurt you so bad that. And of course, you know he doesn't really understand how bad they've hurt you. And what you really want is for them to have to pay for what they did. But, you know, if all I do is forgive them, then how's that going to work out? They're certainly not going to have to pay for what they did. And who knows, I may end up having to be friends with them. Right? And so that's just an example of how sometimes we refuse to do what God tells us to do because we want a particular outcome. And if we did it God's way, then it surely won't come out that way. Instead of accepting God's way to work out whatever needs to be worked out. When we don't truly trust that God will always do what is best for us. And by the way, that is agape. Okay, that's love. That love that says God cannot do anything that is not in our best interest. That's agape. That defines who God is. And if we don't understand that about God, we don't trust that He will always work it out for our best interest, then we won't obey Him. You see, we will not trust and obey Him at all. So you see, we've got to learn to trust God, that He has our best interest in mind. And when He's telling us that we need to do something, and we look at it and go, but that's so hard, I don't want to do it, that we realize that the reason that He's telling us is because it is what's best for us. It may not be what we want, but it's what is best for us. So here's a challenge for you. If there's an area of your life that you're not obeying Him in, perhaps you should focus on trusting Him in that matter. You learn to trust Him in that, then your obedience will follow. And what that will result in is you opening the door to that part of your life that you have been trying to keep Him out of. Learn to trust Him and open the door so that He can come in and clean up the mess that's there. Because closing the door doesn't really do anything with the mess. The mess is still there. It's just behind the door. A wise man in Proverbs says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And look at this next part. And lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that the part that oftentimes gets us into trouble? When it comes to trusting and obeying, we lean on our own understanding. And again, we want things to work out our way because we've already got this figured out. If they would just, okay? Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God's. I promise you, you're not anywhere near as smart as He is. Okay? And so whatever way you have figured out that this situation or problem needs to be worked out, God has already got a much better way. Much better way. And you will find blessings beyond what you can imagine if you'll just obey Him. Okay? Look at the last part of this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Okay? The Apostle Paul, concerning Jesus, says this, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Trust. And obey. Well, there really is no other way. So, what if? What if you just started obeying God concerning that area of your life or those areas? You fill in the blank. What if you just started doing that? Okay? What would happen? What would happen if you just started obeying God concerning that? How would things change in your life? If you just started obeying God, what if? What would change? And what would you start doing differently? If you just started obeying God in that area of your life. What if one opportunity could change your life? All it takes is one. One opportunity. I'm here to tell you this morning, it can. One opportunity is all we need. It can change our life. And not just this physical life, but it can change our eternal life. And that's the most important thing. Okay? And that one opportunity for you may be right now, this morning. You see, because as we've talked about many times with fast, we're not guaranteed even the rest of today, are we? So this may be the one opportunity that you have. You see? And it can change your life. So the challenge is this. Maybe what did you write on the blank line? What is the thing in your life where you need to start obeying God? Will you take this opportunity right now to commit to open that door, let God into that part of your life and start trusting and obeying Him from here on out concerning that issue or that area of your life? You have the opportunity right now to be able to not only recognize that, to be able to come and say, hey, this is an area of my life, and you don't necessarily have to say what the area is, but to say, I've got an area that I know I've got to overcome, I've got to turn over to God, and I need my family here to help me to do that. You've got that opportunity right now this morning. For anyone here who's not yet a Christian, you haven't given your life to Christ, you have an opportunity right now to do that. And it may be your only one opportunity. But that opportunity is afforded to you right now, this morning. If you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to Christ, you can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you have that opportunity right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and Jerry and I will be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us as an invitation, and so the Lord's invitation is open. Let's stand together and sing.